call to order the August 24th, 2010 meeting of the Sussex County Council. First item is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Baker, have you anything to add?
Yes, I would like to suggest that under executive session that we scratch the personnel and land acquisition items. That would only leave pending potential litigation under executive session.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion and second to approve the amended agenda. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. You were emailed yesterday, I believe, the August 17th minutes. Would you like to approve them today or give it a week? If there's no objection, I will allow those minutes to be approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore?
I have none, Mr. President.
Very good. Council have any correspondence?
Well, I did have somebody, didn't bring it in with me, from Westside New Beginning, thanking us for supporting their efforts, sending some kids, I think, to Washington, D.C.
Very good. Mr. Baker?
Just the first item is board appointments for the Advisory Committee for the Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities. Again, this is an advisory committee, and we have some members whose terms expire from, I think, Mrs. Deaver's district and Mr. Wilson's district. If you'd like, we could defer on this if you...
No, I'm ready.
Right, okay.
Yeah, my two appointees would like to be reappointed.
Okay.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Could you name those appointments again, Mr. Baker, please?
Yes, that would be Mr. Vance Daniels and Ms. Francine Shockley.
To the Board Advisory Committee for the Aging Adults with Disabilities. Any discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, the next item is the Delaware Department of Transportation Capital Transportation Budget Proposal. And each year, the county proposes or prepares a recommendation to DelDOT for the its capital transportation five-year plan. And we have a draft to present to you for discussion purposes today. DelDOT will be holding a public meeting on September 16th from 4 o'clock to 7 p.m. at the DelDOT South District office in Georgetown. And we would like to finalize this report over the next 2 weeks by September 7th and then present the final version to you at the next county council meeting on September 14th. The final document would then be presented to DelDOT on September 16th. I'd like to especially thank Mr. Chip Guy, who has spent a lot of time on this presentation, done a good job with it, and Debbie Morris from our Information Systems Office, and Buddy Lynch for all of their help with this proposal.
Well, now that we've got it in color, I'm looking for local roads. I'm looking for Plantation Road on there. Maybe I'm got the wrong glasses on, but I don't see Plantation Road in red. It needs an intersection redo. Nope.
Okay.
It's not there.
We do have under Route 1, on the Route 1 page, there is an item, 5 points intersection US 9 realignment. Do you mean the intersection?
That's not it. No,
okay.
It's Postal Lane and Plantation Road where it
okay,
meets
Cedar Road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, the intersection doesn't meet up, and DelDOT has told us that they're going to reconfigure that intersection and put a light there.
Okay.
It's very dangerous the way it is right now.
Okay. We can amend this to add that.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and just kind of recap what we have here included in the request. Sussex County is Delaware's largest county with about 46% of the area of the county and 37% of the state's mileage in roadway. The most heavily traveled roadways in Sussex are US 13 and Route 1, followed by US 113. And of course, the major east-west routes are also heavily traveled, although these are typically less capable of extensive traffic. This chart shows the various priorities that we have listed, east-west improvements, evacuation routes, and so on. And then we have more detail in the following pages. Again, these are some pictures. East-west corridors, again, as last year and in previous years, is a major priority. And we have a few pictures. We are recommending more funding for the east-west corridors, for widening, resurfacing, turn lanes, and then better coordination of traffic signals. Route 26, we're recommending that completion of the detour routes so that they can eventually add the center turn lane to Route 26. Route 24, it's our understanding that there are no funds included for improvements along Route 24, even in the five-year current capital program recommendation. We feel that's important to include so that there's widening to add additional lanes along Route 24. Route 404 and 9, again, should be efforts to increase capacity of those roads. And Route 54, adding a center turn lane from Kenwick west to Route 20, and then similar improvements going west to Selbyville.
Can we go back to Route 24?
Yes.
What are you saying about there's no funds for widening of Route 24? But we're not talking about Love Creek to Route 1, are we?
Well, yes, we are. But what DelDOT explained to us in meeting, we had a meeting roughly a week ago with some representatives from DelDOT, and they explained that there are no funds, even in the five-year plan, for Route 24 improvements. And so we wanted to emphasize that.
Absolutely. It's in bad shape. And they do have plans to widen it, and they've been out there with their engineers, and it's all ready to go, except for the funding, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Dave, from the way the packets is set up, you've got the east-west corridor is number one. Is it safe to assume that our position is that we think the east-west corridors
are
more important than anything else right now because they're so far behind? Like, we do have dual highways, you know, four-lane highways in, you know, north and south existing. We don't have anything east and west to connect these roads.
That's the big
problem. And I agree if this is some kind of a priority list that we think, because I do, I concur, I think east-west
and
corridors are the most important.
Yeah, okay, good, because that's how we have it listed as
the first
priority.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, I think that's what our emphasis should be at this point, because you got these two-lane roads linking into four-lane roads, and it just everything ought to be all four-lane roads. Then we should be emphasizing then going back and improvement, maybe north-south type of stuff. But mm-hmm. Right now, east-west is
the first
priority. Totally inadequate. Mm-hmm. So just a thought, I don't know,
yep.
If that's safe to concur from this packet you've got in front of us.
That is how we have it.
Is that kind of a consensus with the council here that we feel that the east-west is? Because when I go to other places, I see these major highways going this way, and then I see major roads linking them, and traffic seems to flow a lot better.
It almost seems as if that's been the consensus for years.
Okay, well, I'm just hoping. I just think we need to continue to emphasize it, that we think east-west corridor is important because so many of the people that do come and leave our state are coming east and west.
That's right.
I mean, in a bigger...
A lot of the north... Here's the other thing. A lot of the north-south is just passing through. More of the east-west... When they come from west to east, it's a destination.
Mm-hmm.
There's nowhere else to go after you hit...
If they're going east and west, they've got an outlet. Are they going to be jammed up on these corridors you're talking about? Or these side routes? Because... Example, in Milford, I was up that way trying to get to Wilmington Sunday, and they were way south of Milford, jammed up, couldn't even get over the old head bridge, and then when it got around there, tried to get together, it was still jammed up.
Right, no, but
and
these...
And so you got all this traffic jammed back this way, and you can't get on the highway. So if you don't have your main highway open, you could have the nice highways going back and forth east and west, and you still can't go nowhere after you get out there.
I understand, but I just think that the east-west with the two-lane roads need to be brought up to at least four-lane roads, and then before we start concentrating on... I know some of the four-lane roads still and intersections need improvement, but we only got so much money to spend.
Well, we should stop spending so much money maybe on our tourist advertising. No
tourists, don't say anything about
and
tourists.
And put something in this road money. Or put some money in this roads.
Anyway, I just think if I'm hoping that the council takes a position that the east-west corridor should be a priority with the state and their transportation concerns.
A much bigger issue than probably can be tackled today is the funding of roads and the disconnect between land use and transportation infrastructure funding. This county has taken the responsibility for wastewater management and has done an excellent job by building hundreds of millions of dollars worth of central sewer systems. We have cooperated with the Department of Transportation, the State Land Use Planning Office, by creating land use plans which are approved by the state, which has illustrated to the state going back 15 or 20 years where growth would occur. And the deal was that we would cooperate and they would build the roads to handle the traffic that this development would incur, but they dropped the ball. There has been discussion over the years. I know even some senators have proposed bills that go nowhere to transfer the authority to the county. Should the county get back into the road business? George says no. But when will Sussex County ever be given its fair share of transportation funds if we aren't in control? It's just like dog control. It's just like every other unfunded mandate that is in existence. If we could get the revenue that is generated from the fuel tax, from other transportation revenues that come from the feds, it's my belief that at the local level, we could do a better job. And it's not something that's going to happen overnight. It would take a transition period. But do you, Mr. Baker, believe there's any opportunity to discuss that with the state in a serious tone?
Certain that we can discuss it with them. When we met with representatives of Delta, one of the concerns they had is that looking in the future, they don't see much additional funding available. And basically, they indicated that, based on the current track of revenues, that they feel that there will be less money available for projects such as many of these that we have on this list. So that is a concern they brought to our attention. And
Before you have that conversation, I think we ought to have that conversation first, because
yes.
You're talking about, Vance, if we started a transportation department here, you're talking about, again, growing Sussex County government. When government grows, taxes go up, and you got to pay for it somehow, and then the overhead and everything else. Anyway, I'd be a little concerned, because right now, maybe it is more efficient, even though they don't do a good job. It should be more efficient, or the perception is they don't do a good job. But at Dover, I think, again, we ought to have that conversation first. And see if there's any position the county can take a consensus here or something. So if you wanted to put it on the agenda at a future date, maybe bring us some numbers, see what kind of numbers come from the feds and from the different revenue sources, and is it doable, or is there some consultants that, if we wanted to spend some money on consultants to look at that to see if we could possibly do it. But I don't know. I would think Newcastle County would have tried to do it years ago and some of the other counties, and I don't know if we want to take off and doing it. So
I'm not in favor of a Sussex dot.
I think one of the things to be concerned about, though, George, is that, and I agree, I don't think we want to grow government necessarily, but the primary reason Newcastle has never done that, because all the money goes to Newcastle.
It could be. Right.
I mean, all the money that's generated down here from fuel tax and registration of vehicles, I mean, there seems to be no problem getting roads done in Newcastle County. There's a great deal of problem getting roads done down here. And one of the things we hear from people all the time that come to this podium is about traffic. And it's obvious the state's not going to do anything. So I don't know what our options are. I mean, I think it's something we should at least have the conversation about.
I don't, that's what I say. Well, before we send David up there, saying, you know, we ought to look at some numbers, see, you know, look at it a little bit deeper than just having, you know, a cursory conversation like we just had now.
Would there be an objection to allowing Mr. Godwin to maybe put together a report?
I think we should be looking at coordinating our development with infrastructure.
For 15, 18 years, we have been coordinating through land use planning processes, which those plans have been approved by the state, 1997.
It's not working.
That's my point. That is my point.
Well, part of the problem is we've had memorandums of understanding primarily, and they don't really hold any weight, and we still have home rule here or whatever. And they can't build roads as fast as we developed that. When that boom came along here, there was a line of developers coming and building stuff, and there's just no way the state of Delaware can go engineer and fix these roads as fast as we developed this county. So it's going to take a while to catch up. So even I think if we had it here at the local level, we'd be doing a lot of catching up. So unless you somehow tie something differently, everybody's hands a little bit, you know, when you approve a development, something's supposed to happen, and we don't do that. So I don't know. There's a big picture there, and I think we're looking at just a snapshot. So be careful.
Is there any reason we can't have Mr. Godwin do?
No. I would like to know how much money comes from the feds that come to Sussex County, how much everything else. Keep in mind, Mike, that 600,000 people live in Newcastle County, 150 live here, and I know we got a lot of rural roads and a big expense to keep that up, and that's probably could be another reason why a lot of that money goes up there. They have a much bigger population.
But they don't want to come here for vacation.
Well, that's true.
That's why we built Route 1. They can get down here
fast. That's what I say. They usually make those roads good, you know, fast.
I'd venture to say we had more than 150,000 in Sussex County this weekend.
Right, but I'm just talking about permanent.
Well, we're using roads. That's what we're talking about.
I understand.
Anyway, there's no reason that Hal can't.
I think Hal could maybe put together. Why didn't he come back and say, here's the parameter, or what do you want me to look at first? Because he could be looking for 2 years. So could you come to first with, say, here's what I think I should look at, and then see if we have anything we should add to it, and then we'll go from there. Yeah.
There's no doubt we can operate more efficient. We would spend money on bridges down here.
Wait a minute, Sam, keep in mind, now you're the guy who badmouths government. Government can't do it as good as the private sector, and all of a sudden, just because maybe we've been done a good job in sewer service, are we going to imply that we're going to be able to do a good job in everything? So be careful, Sam.
I think they started out.
Now saying, you're a pro-government guy.
Well, nobody's talking about taking authority away from the private sector, George. We're simply advocating local control.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Baker, would you like to continue?
Sure. The next priority item we had is evacuation routes. And what we are recommending is upgrade and evacuation routes, including installing turn lanes at intersections where needed, converting additional traffic signals to a computerized system to speed up the evacuation process, and further educate the public regarding the evacuation routes.
And that is actually linked with east-west corridors, because you look at a lot of the east-west stuff and the evacuation routes, they're one and the same. So there's a twofer.
North-south highway improvements. This is the limited access highway proposed for Route 113, which of course is fed by Route 1 from the north, 404 from the west, and 113 from Maryland in the south. We have this as a limited access road, which according to this DLDOT would help divert as much as a third of the traffic off of Route 1 and ease demands on Route 13. And of course, that's a long-term project that would be phased. Route 1 improvements, 5 points, US 9 realignment. Again, this is on the list to basically to where Route 9 heading east toward Belltown, basically have that connect to Beaver Dam Road and then run that in into across to try to help alleviate some of the congestion there. The intersection of Route 1 and 16 near Milton is a dangerous intersection. There have been a number of accidents in that area. Improvements in on that intersection. West Coast Corner improvements, very confusing intersection there. Sidewalks along Route 1 where there are gaps in sidewalks. There are considerable amount of sidewalks along Route 1, but there are some gaps there. Crosswalks, possible pedestrian bridges, and then bike paths and commercial property interconnectivity. That is something that we have some of, but maybe we can work to towards more interconnectivity to keep traffic off of Route 1.
Are they saying, what's the timing of the finance on the Five Points intersection US 9 realignment? What are they saying about that? Is that in the five-year plan, or what is?
Yes, it is.
In the five-year plan?
Yes, it is. I'm not sure the exact timing when they anticipate the work to begin on that mm-hmm. project, but that is within their five-year plan. We can get back to you on that.
Okay.
Why don't we write a letter to the DLDOT stating, like, when we look at these pedestrian bridges and bicycling paths and other things, there's such other priorities than those, but one of them here is just to get some people from one outlet mall to the other outlet mall. Why don't we put some of the financial burden or ask them to put some of this financial burden on the outlet malls? Or whatever, but I mean, it gets.
And there has been some of that has been done and completed, as you're aware.
But they're talking about here a pedestrian bridge. I mean, if they're talking about putting a bridge across it, those kind of things aren't cheap either. But again, I'd rather see money put into roads maybe as a priority, because mm-hmm. a lot of this stuff can eat up a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
When they're maybe at this point in the game, there is some other priority. Okay, that's just in the interconnecting commercial properties, interconnectivity. Do we have the ability to do that? Is Lawrence here or what? I mean, do we have the ability to do that right now?
Well,
or do we have to have an ordinance? If we don't have an ordinance, we ought to have one. We should have had one 20 years ago.
I think it's difficult to do it retroactive. We looked at Mr. Guy. There was one proposal made for some interconnectivity, and it looked. Chip went out and looked at it, and it looked rather impractical to get it done. And, so to try to do it retroactive can be difficult, but where there are opportunities, what we're suggesting is we try to take advantage of them.
We don't have to have a new ordinance to do that?
No, I think that normally when an application comes, you can possibly specify that as
administratively? Or
by the county council.
By the county council. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there just ought to be, it ought to be automatic that each, on certain roads, each of these commercial properties ought to have a stub that would then connect as the next parcel developed or redeveloped. So, I don't know, maybe it's something Everett needs to look into. I think we could have the ability to go and require interconnectability of existing big parking lots and stuff like that. I think they do it elsewhere, and I'm sure you could find ordinances that hold up in the courts and stuff like that. So
you could do that now, just yeah. from when we approve something that is part of the requirement.
Well, but we ought to make it part of our standard requirements, so some don't get in and some don't get. You know, somebody mm-hmm. some attorney that we all know makes a good argument, and we go, all right, we'll let you slide, you know, or something. But anyway, we ought to have it fixed in the ordinance that it's required,
and
unless they can prove that it's. Like there's a stream there or something, some other obstacle that they can't do it. But, and I think we ought to be able to go back retroactively when some big operation develops next to another operation that we could say, if it's feasible, we could require them to do that.
Well, I know many towns have similar ordinances, not just for commercial, but also residential,
mm-hmm.
especially right. in the towns, because they want it all to connect together.
Right.
And it's part of the fire safety, police safety, mm-hmm. so you can go from one to the other. And I know often it's a fire department, fire marshals wants mm-hmm. that.
Is there any problem maybe letting Everett put that on a list of things to look into and not give him any time frame, but in other words, start exploring that and come back to us with a... some interconnectability type of ordinances, or how our current ordinance affects the ability to make properties interconnect.
And it may already be in there.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if you could, maybe come back with a little quick, you sitting down with Lawrence someday and finding out what the heck's going on.
When you make those stub roads and it's fairly obvious.
You do listen to us, don't you?
Mr. Lang, why don't you come up now?
Robin paged him.
Chip paged him.
Chip paged me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're talking about interconnectability. We're in this, Dave, we're down here on the bottom one. Commercial properties interconnectivity. Okay? Can you read it? You want to get closer or farther back? There you go. And my question was, do we have current ordinances that give us the ability to require interconnectability? And then somebody said they don't think we could do it retroactively, and I said, why not? And
well, we can't do it retroactively, but DelDOT recommended.
We can't, but we could if we maybe change some things. But
DelDOT has been recommending interconnectivity for roads.
20 years, 30 years.
Yeah. Several years. I won't say that long, but several years. They're trying to eliminate the number of entrances and exits onto major highways or roadways altogether.
We're not asking
In some cases, that's the only way you can get to a parcel, so it does provide an out for that parcel. Mm-hmm. What the developers do, they build the roads in their project. They don't build the stub that connects it to the parcel. A future applicant would have to do that in that time.
Why don't we require them to build the stub?
We don't.
Sometimes the stub never happens, so really it would deteriorate for lack of use.
Mm-hmm.
So basically they build it. It's reserved. It's there. It'd be open space
they
until
such
it. Time. Yeah, they stub them in, but they're not improved.
Mm-hmm.
Do we require that, or do we just sometimes pick it up during the site plan approval process, and sometimes we get it right, and sometimes we...
No, typically DelDOT wants some interconnection in their comments when we apply for a preliminary, and then we incorporate interconnectivity. We don't interconnect with every parcel, but we provide for some access into... And we had one just recently that had an interconnection with one farm to the rear and one farm to the west.
Okay. Then to go back to retroactively requiring it, we can't do that today.
You would end up deleting lots.
Well,
a lot to get that interconnection.
Well, have
in
that
some
with,
cases.
In a subdivision.
Yeah.
Right. I'm talking about maybe commercial. Maybe
commercial.
We're more concerned right now with commercial.
Come up a few times through DelDOT. It's come up a few times, possibly through the commission, and just an observation where there wasn't a...
We don't have the ability, though, in our current zoning scheme. Okay. Well, that's what my question to Everett was. Can we get the ability? Do other jurisdictions have the ability? And what would it take? And that's basically
yes, right.
But,
yeah,
but not retroactively.
Not retroactively. We'd have to prepare an ordinance.
What's that?
We'd have to prepare an ordinance to allow for us.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying I'd like to know how could we get to the point if you're comfortable, it's something you can defend, that we can require an existing outlet mall, for instance, to interconnect with something new that's come up. You know.
Yes, I'm very much in favor of that.
So
it would really help.
I know other places in this country do it. I'm just wondering if it's something we want to look at.
I'm strange you would say
retroactively,
that.
Retroactively would be the difficult part.
Right. I think it'd be a strange
you would make that comment, that you want to get involved with the state. Well, you just said, well, go, we should get involved doing the state's work and bring them in.
This would be an ordinance at the county.
Currently, it does seem like it's the state's responsibility to have this type of multimodal and transportation.
The state has total jurisdiction over access and onto public roads.
But they're
it doesn't
so
necessarily have that jurisdiction on requiring access to other parcels.
Right,
but it's
right.
been a recommendation for interconnectivity, and I said to reduce the number of entrances on public roads.
Right.
As one, but
I don't think there would be objection from council to allow Mr. Moore to look into that. It makes good sense.
Yeah, just investigate it and see what you can find.
It might be the beginning of the Sussex County Department of Transportation.
Never know.
Oh, please.
Big government guy. Two big government guys here.
Big government.
Local control, George. Local control.
Thank you, Mr. Lang.
High taxes.
Mike, we're going to have to save the county.
Save the county.
I'm going to put a cape on you.
I can say one thing. The county's getting in bad shape. You think you're going to save it?
Gentlemen.
Move right along.
Okay. Indian River Inlet Bridge, this... as I understand, is fully funded and should be done about a year from now. flooding issues. This is a new page that we added.
Good.
With the rains and the high tides that we've experienced recently. As you're aware, roads such as Long Neck Road, Prime Hook Road, Fred Hudson Road are typically flooded in high when we have high tides. And there were certainly some sometimes major inconveniences for the residents in those areas. So we are recommending consideration towards some sort of mitigation type projects where it is feasible. And there are a couple pictures there. But
mm-hmm. Well, these are just low areas, and there's no place to drain the water because the place to drain the waters are overflowing because of the high tides. And
right. Some of the,
unless you elevate these roads like we did at Route 54 in Fenwick Island.
That's what we're looking at, though.
I don't know where they're going to get the money to elevate any roads.
Is in some of these instances.
You know, maybe in our comments we could find about $25 million they could spend in Sussex County if they would finally tell us who made the mistake on the bridge in the River Inlet.
Reinvest that.
Get that money back from whoever made that mistake and put down in Sussex County.
Yeah.
Enough said. Thank you.
I'm glad George didn't interfere while he said it.
What's that?
What else you got, Mr. Baker?
Yes. Local roads. We have a list of local roads that we have on the next page. And we have added a number of roads as a result to this list, especially as a result of receiving comments from the public on the internet. Just to highlight a couple, in Bethany Beach Double Bridges Roads, where we are recommending consideration for shoulders there, shoulders on River Road and Blades, widened shoulders along Redden Road, Route 40, Adams Road and Woodbridge Road in Bridgeville area. These were recommended by the Woodbridge School District. Some changes there, especially near their sports complex. Dagsburg Frankfurt, we are suggesting a median crossover for our paramedics on Route 113 and also in Georgetown area, a median crossover for the use by the paramedics. In Georgetown, Route 30, Gravel Hill Road to realign a sharp turn. There have been many accidents along the very sharp curve there. Park Avenue, Route 9, Truck Route 9, shoulders and a left turn lane from US 9 onto Park Avenue. In the Lewis Milton area, Cave Neck Road, lengthen a turn lane from Route 1. Millsboro area, Dorman Road is badly in need of repaving. Cannon Road also repaving. Milton Prime Hook Road, of course, has some major flooding problem. Maybe there's some other ways to handle that situation. Seaford Middleford Road, gateway improvements. Just to mention a few, and we will take a look at your recommendation, Mrs. Deaver, regarding Plantation
Thank
Road
you.
And Postal Lane.
David, maybe a recommendation to DelDOT on shoulders should be somehow tied to levels of traffic, because we have, if you have busy roads, it's much safer to have something with shoulders. So maybe they could look to a formula that as roads reach a certain capacity, or highway capacity, and they don't have shoulders, that they should get shoulders. Mm-hmm. But with all the people with bikes and walking and stuff like this, so instead of just taking pot shots, because some of these roads, I look at one here, it said, my brother used to live on that road, I think, at one time, Bacon Road, pave and shoulders. Now, I can understand maybe paving, but I can't imagine there's many people, use that road on a day-to-day basis, so maybe shoulders wouldn't be necessary, so maybe just paving would be a big improvement. So maybe shoulders should be tied to some kind of traffic counts.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right, so it's okay. Just a suggestion, because yep. Otherwise it's like you're shooting in the dark on shoulders. And anyway.
And some of the roads are, like Double Bridges Road is there's quite a bit of traffic there.
Well, we've approved all that development out there, and then they're using those back roads more so than ever, and there isn't any shoulders, and you got people on bikes walking everything out. But you're right, Double Bridges is a good example of a high traffic counts, but I look at some of these and I can't imagine, because I've been on Bacon Road, but I can't imagine that they really need shoulders.
And it's nothing like what's going on Plantation Road, where we're approving office building after office building.
And there's no shoulders, right?
Well,
and there are shoulders in there.
They need that intersection readjusted.
Anyway, that's just a thought.
Intersections and signalization. We support efforts to improve US 9 intersections at Gravel Hill, Hudson, and Sweetbriar Roads. We are recommending installation of dedicated turn lanes where needed and better coordination of traffic signals. And we're suggesting greater use of blinking red arrows and left turn signals at key intersections. The airport, again, the state funds roughly 5% of cost for FAA-funded projects. So our airport, of course, is very important for economic development, with more than 900 jobs out in the industrial park now. Transportation alternatives, bus service. One of the things we talked about some of the employees from DelDOT that deal with the bus service, is there is now a bus that runs from like New York to Philadelphia to Washington that is very inexpensive. It's run by Greyhound, and it's called the Bolt Bus. And they have very limited stops, and they have a limited number of trips. They fill that bus up. And what we're talking about is trying to encourage Greyhound to maybe offer a bus from Washington to the beach in the summer in Philadelphia to see if something like that might help.
We used to have that.
Yeah. I think there is a bus, I was told, from Washington now.
Mm-hmm.
But the bus service from this Bolt bus is like a $14 or $16 charge. It's
really
cost less than the tolls, probably in some cases. You know, so it's very reasonable.
They have a bus. Dart operates a bus from Rehoboth.
From Wilmington.
To
yeah.
Wilmington.
Yes.
Weekends and through the week. Now, the one through the week, I think, makes a bunch of stops, but I think they have a nonstop on weekends and stuff. So I believe that's pretty well traveled.
Yes.
But I go around and I see where they've put up some of these signs for bus stops. And there's one just south, if you guys are familiar with Fred Hudson, when you come out of Fred Hudson on the Coastal Highway. There's a sign about no parking or stopping or something. Anyway, and there's a little tiny sign says something about it's a place to, you know, to get the Dart bus. And there's one bicycle every day tied up there. So one person gets on there because, you know what, there's no bench there. There's no other thing. It's just on the shoulder of the road. It is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in the way to try to encourage people to use this thing. They're so poorly identified and put in locations that aren't even safe for a bus to pull over. But they're pulling over on Route 1. There's no stores around. There's nothing around this bus stop. One little lone bicycle. I think some foreign worker gets on it every day. So talk about whoever runs that and lines that up, they need to have somebody come in and help them. Maybe somebody from the private sector who knows how to. Because the guy who's working for DelDOT, I don't know. Some of the dumbest locations I've ever seen, poorly identified. Nobody's ever on the buses.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then in closing, Sussex County is the largest county in Delaware with 46% of the area. 37% of all state-maintained roads are in Sussex County. Our population is expected to grow 30% over the next 15 years. And plus tourism, of course, creates additional demands on our transportation system. If you have concerns regarding maintenance and improvements, and we urge DelDOT to take the necessary steps now to make Sussex projects, to fund Sussex projects, particularly improvements in the east-west arteries, as previously noted. So again, this is a draft that we have put together. We will make some changes to it as suggested, and And if you have other concerns that come up between now and September 7th, we'll try to incorporate them into a final document to present to DLDOT on September 16th.
I got one closing remark, too. This has always bugged me. DLDOT takes over roads in subdivisions, and they accept them when they meet a certain standard. And then they've got to go in and maintain them, fix the potholes, and push snow. We don't have the money, the time, the people to do all that when we have snow and everything else. I know they're the last ones to get plowed, but it just doesn't seem prudent to me for the DLDOT to take over maintenance of these subdivision roads, which are typically private. You know, when the county approves them, we do a private road system. Private, and they maintain the cost of the roads on the interior of their development. Very few people are using those roads in large numbers other than the people live there, and they ought to be responsible for them. And many times if they build them or bring them up, or some legislator gives them money to bring them up to state standard, next thing you know, my tax dollars are going to pay to go into that private subdivision to take care of those roads because they've been brought up to state standards and the state's accepted them. So I don't know if that's a good system, and they should stop doing that.
I don't know if they're allowed to touch the roads if they're state roads.
And it's my understanding, Mr. Cole, that when the legislators give money, as you indicated, they go in the homeowners or the homeowner association gives the state the right or the legislator the right to go in and pave. That's usually a tar and chip over a private road system, and at that point the state does not pick up maintenance for that. It's just to go in that one-shot deal and
well,
to pay.
But they also have a program, Everett, where if a subdivision builds them to state standards,
right, that's different.
They will take it over. So, again, I just think it's not prudent for the state of Delaware to be taking over roads in subdivisions.
Well, they do have the roads in Sandy Bray, and they're not maintaining them.
And well, if they call up, they will. They're
no, it doesn't work. I've been getting the complaints for years.
Even before you were a county council person?
I was a community organizer.
That's right. Anyway, that just shows you if the homeowners association controlled their own roads, you maybe would have fixed them. But right now, everybody's saying it's not our responsibility. It's a state, and you're low on the priority list. But anyway, I don't think we have the funding. I don't think there's the resources to be able to go into these subdivisions and have my tax dollars and everybody's tax dollars subsidizing these roads. I think they ought to be the responsibility of the community that they're within because they're not used by the general traffic of this state and whatever. Anyway.
That's just a major change that and the homeowners should be made aware of something like that.
Well, I'm not saying to do away with the ones who have it. I'm just saying don't take on any more new subdivisions and acquire the responsibility, the financial responsibility and stuff. Anyway, we just don't have the resources. So anyway, I just never did like that, and I think it's, again, something that could be.
Are you saying, George, the state should not come in and tell the developers how to build a road? Being they're not going to take the road anyway, is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying when we have private subdivisions and they have a road system in there, they should be remain private, the responsibility of the homeowner.
In other words, you're saying the state should not come in and tell them how to build the roads in.
No.
Because they're not going to take that road. They're
no,
not
we tell them, Sam, we tell them how to build the roads.
Not necessarily.
Yes, we do. No, we tell them.
I think the state takes, don't the state?
It depends. There's two standards.
Right,
one's
I know
a
that.
County standard, one is a state standard. If they're built to the county standard, then there has to be a mechanism through homeowner association to pay for
financial
the continued
support. And that's the system I like. But there is the alternate way of doing it, Sam, is to build it to state standards,
right.
And then the state will go in there. The general fund will go in there and pay to get those roads fixed. And I don't think we have the resources to continue to do that. So I would say stop doing that process or practice. And when you have a private subdivision, they should be private roads.
Well, that's the question I asked you. You finally answered. You said they should stop, and I agree with you.
They can build them to state standards. I don't care what they build them to, Sam.
Okay.
They could build them to federal standards, as long as the state of Delaware's tax base is not supporting it.
As long as the state's not requiring them to do that. You don't care, right?
I don't know. You've lost me there somehow. But anyway, that's okay.
Well, the state, if the state comes and requires these people to build these roads to
they
their
don't.
Specs and they take over the road, then you're saying if they don't take it over, you're saying you don't, the state shouldn't take it over, then the state shouldn't be required to tell them how to build it. Is that what you're saying?
Here's what I'm saying, and then we'll move on, Mr. President. When we approve a subdivision, the minimal standards are county standards. If they want to build above county standards, that's fine with me. I don't think the state should ever go in, I don't care what standards they are, go in and then maintain roads in private subdivisions. Okay?
So the synopsis is you think the state should keep their nose out of development.
We're the ones approving them, and we just have a minimal requirement of county standards. If they want to exceed that, if the developer wants to exceed that, that's fine.
I understand that part, but we had two standards here. We had the county and the state. So you're saying the state shouldn't be involved in developing roads. Am I understanding you correctly?
The state never required a subdivision to build roads to a certain standard. The county did, or the developer did.
The state required if they took the roads over.
Right, they had to meet their standards, right? I'm just saying that if they can meet those standards, but they should never take them over.
In other words, they should not be involved.
Whatever, however you want to look at it.
Another reason for the county to take over the road system. thank you, Mr.
No,
Cole.
Sam would be in charge. No, keep
Mr.
let the state have
Mr.
it.
Mr. Baker, have you anything else?
Yes, the administrator's report.
Okay. And there is a public hearing once again on this.
September 16th.
September 16th.
Public is invited. 7 o'clock. Yes.
And the public can come and advocate for additional road improvements.
So that is an actual hearing.
Yes.
Testimony will be taken.
Mm-hmm. Del Dot does that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And held right down here at their office in Georgetown?
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. South District Administration Building.
Public mm-hmm. is encouraged. The public comments may not get acted on in this plan, but I have seen firsthand that they are duly noted, and oftentimes in next year's or the following year's plans, if those requests are reasonable, they end up in a plan. And sometimes those requests are adopted by the county in its request the following year.
Yes.
So it's worth coming out if you live on a road that really needs some attention.
Thank you. The next item is the administrator's report. A public meeting will be held at 6:30 p.m. at the Millville Fire Hall on Route 26 Millville on August 25th. The County Engineering Department will provide information regarding the proposed project to expand the Millville Sewer District to include Denton Mills, West Ocean Farms, White's Neck Village, Squirrels Run, and Bowerset adjacent to White's Neck Road. Presentation will include estimated costs, the county rate structure, construction impacts, and the process for connecting. Report regarding this meeting will be made at the next council meeting on September 14th. Airport Advisory Committee meeting. The Airport Advisory Committee will meet on August 25th, also at 7 p.m. at the county EOC. Discussion regarding emergency response and airport policy rules and regulations will occur. Vlasic Pinnacle Foods facility modernizations. We are pleased to announce that Pinnacle Foods, the owner of the Milford Pickle Processing Facility, will be modernizing its facility with a new tank farm to preserve pickles that would replace the 40-year-old tank farm in place today. Construction of the new tank farm will occur beginning October with completion by next May. This major investment reflects their decision to maintain their facility in the Millsboro area, which includes 149 full-time employees that expands to over 300 during the processing season. Pinnacle Foods also was approved for a $90,000 state capital facilities grant from the Delaware Strategic Fund to convert their boilers to natural gas. 2010 inaugural class Delaware Tech. Delaware Tech has announced that as of the end of this week, approximately 15 students will complete the requirements for Del Tech's Airframe Maintenance Technology Program. This is the first class, which began in June of 2009, condensed in a 14-month time frame that included student work through the summers. These 15 students will receive a certificate of completion next week on September 1st. They now will be eligible to take three tests to receive the airframe mechanic certification. It is my understanding that one of the students is currently working now at PATS and at the industrial park, and that PATS may be hiring others in the near future. The county council contributed towards developing this program at the industrial park by investing in the purchase and renovation of a large hangar that was converted to the Aviation Maintenance Education Center. We wish to congratulate these students and wish them the best of luck in the future.
Does this continue on year after year, this class, or is it just was it just a one-time event? And
it will continue. In fact,
every semester they have
starting.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good.
Summer holidays, county council will not meet on August 31st and September 7th in honor of Labor Day and also for a summer recess. The next meeting of the county council will occur on September 14th at 10 a.m. County offices will be closed on September 6th in honor of Labor Day. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Mr. Hicken.
Morning.
Can Mr. Hicken, when we start the Sussex County Transportation Department, can you take that over along with the airport?
Well, I'm confused because I think we've already started it. We operate and maintain a piece of transportation infrastructure already.
Good.
It's the airport.
You've got the experience.
We just haven't called me and Susan, the Department of Transportation.
We'll get out there and paint a new title on your door.
Well, hopefully you'll think I'm here with some good news this morning. As you remember, I was here a couple of weeks ago, and you approved a contract with Delta Airport Consultants to do an environmental assessment for our 500-foot runway extension. That approval was pending receipt of a federal grant, and we have since been offered that grant. The next step in the process is for us to accept that money and the obligations that come with it. So that's why I'm here this morning. There's a lot of information in your packet about that, and I can answer questions for you if you'd like, or I could just read the motion.
I would just say read the motion. That's my recommendation.
I do have a question. The 500 feet is on the far end of the runway, if you want to say it that way. It's not on the end where we've got to reconfigure the roads, correct?
No, it is on the end that we'll have to reconfigure the roads eventually for the 1,000 foot.
Okay.
It's on the end away from Sports at the Beach and Pats. And
okay.
That's on the Park Avenue side.
Right.
Oh, good. All right. The other end of the airport, Mr. Baker, is that also designed for additional 500 feet?
No, we're constrained there with the railroad track that's there. There's some issues with the railroad track. We could add some now, but once we go to the big extension, we would have to abandon a lot of that, or most of that, all of it.
Right now, our goal is 6,000 feet. Because that affords us the ability to land certain types of aircrafts. Is there a distance less than the 6,000 but greater than the 5,500 that would afford us opportunities to ensure that PATS can remain viable?
So we're, Mr. Hicken and I have been discussed this recently in the last few days, and they are checking to see exactly what distance is needed for a Boeing 757, which is an important business that they foresee in the future for PATS. So if there's a way that maybe we could go with less than 6,000 feet, if that would work for a 757, then we're going to take a close look at that, where it doesn't mean that we have to move that runway or move that road, which is roughly, I think, a $20 million cost. Which
$20 million?
Yeah.
The road's about
that
seven.
Park Boulevard.
Seven, but then you add on the runway extension and approach lighting and et cetera, and it's about $26 million that we've been using for the 1,000-foot extension.
Well,
right now, a 757 could land at the airport. I mean, we had plans to bring Air Force Two in last year, and which fell through, but that's a 757. So obviously that could have safely landed here. The question is, like we have with the 737s now, it's more of an insurance issue of you know, if they'll allow their airplanes to land on a certain length of runway. And that's what we're looking into.
Is the 6,000 feet typically kind of the holy grail number for the industry, or does it vary per type of plane?
No, it varies per type of plane. Even within the 757 family, you know, you have a Dash 200 and a Dash 300, which are different weights. You have different engines, you know, Pratt & Whitney versus the Rolls-Royce engine, which gives it different capabilities. So it's really not a 757 specific issue. It's more of an insurance, you know, who's going to allow their airplanes to land on a 5500 or 5600 or 50, you know, whatever. And the 6,000 feet, I think, came about mostly because of the constraints of, you know, the railroad tracks on one end and moving Park Avenue on the other end.
Now, with this, the path we're taking now, we have to move Park Avenue?
No.
Or at this point, we don't?
That 5,500 feet is about as much as we can go without moving Park Avenue.
All right, let's stop there.
There's okay. a possibility we, you know, 5,600 feet would work, but then again, you know, we haven't justified 5,600 feet. That was the problem with the 6,000 feet. So, you know, we can justify 5,500. The FAA will help fund all that. But anything beyond that, we're kind of on our own.
And just for a point of clarification, excuse me, Mr. Vincent, okay. Is this part of the original 1,000 feet that we did an environmental assessment on that now we've got to do another one on, even though it's been done once because we shortened it?
Right, because it is a different mix of aircraft. The air quality part of the environmental assessment is going to be different because of the construction equipment use is going to be different. You know, it's, as much as we'd like to say if one's good, the other's got to be good, you really don't know until you run the numbers. And, you know, noise modeling has to be done because it's a different mix of aircraft. And, you know, there's some legal issues that you get into by, you know, you have to have those noise contours. You just can't say, yeah, that's probably okay.
Mr. Vincent?
I guess the concern I have, and I understand, I guess, I think where George is talking about the 5,500 feet and not going farther, but concern I have is that we as a council and a county need to make sure that PATS is viable. They're a large employer out there. They're very important in this county. If they come back and say to land these 757s, you need 700 feet, not 500. Mm-hmm. My concern is that I think we're going to need to do that to keep them viable if that's the case, because I think it's going to be a big part of their future business. I'm going to go back to the same thing. The previous council, and I've done the same thing, but, I mean, they spent a $500,000 to do environmental study for 1,000 feet. FAA says, no, that's, you don't need it much, now it's 500 feet. Now we're going to spend another $300,000 to do that. If you come back a month from now and say what you need is 5,700 feet, are we going to be saying, oh, this $300,000, and we've just thrown that away again, and we got to do something else? And it's like a snowball rolling downhill.
Right.
Every time we want to do something, even though you've paid money before, tax dollars, mm-hmm. I mean, it's federal tax dollars mostly, but still tax dollars, you end up coming back to the thing, well, this is a different length now, so you got to do another environmental process evaluation, and this thing goes on and on and on.
Right.
Are we better to find out exactly what they really need? I would think that's something they could tell you fairly quickly.
Short of having to spend move Park Avenue,
we should find out what they need.
But
5,650 or 50, I don't know what it needs to be. I know.
Hesitant on
right. The problem that Park we have is the FAA is not funding for PATS. They're giving us funding for our actual aircraft mix and forecast, which is 5,500. If you want to go beyond that, you know that you're going to have to find a different funding source than the Airport Improvement Program or the FAA.
Well, wouldn't you agree that the largest employer out here that uses things is PATS?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, but we want to keep
you know,
them
I,
out
I've,
there.
I keep but, saying that the FAA doesn't fund economic
development. I understand that, here. But we as a county need to be concerned about them staying here, hopefully growing. And if 757s are what they see is their some of their future, mm-hmm. then we sure as heck got to be able to land them out there.
How do we fund it?
I don't know. The first question is find out what they really need.
Right. Yeah, we ought to put that in the mix.
Maybe this 500 feet will suffice. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just hate to see us keep spending tax dollars to reevaluate something every time we want to change the footage, you know?
But we ought to be also a little concerned that we go this path because we only have one employer out there and we're trying to cater to one employer. Next thing you know, some corporate, they sell out this and that. Next thing you know, they pack up and leave.
I understand.
You know, and we've gone all this thing. So I we want to be a little cautious on,
I
think we need to accommodate.
I think we have an obligation to do all we can do to keep.
Well, I think we are. So far we have been trying, but I think I know what we're saying here is what Jim's saying is it's.
That's
the big mix we got to look at, not just one.
Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think we need to do whatever we can to keep them, but there's, you know, we could go all that down that path and then they're gone.
Let me just throw one more thing. Mr. Wilson, go ahead.
I'm still hung up on this environmental impact thing.
No, it's ridiculous.
On this 1,000 feet and 500 feet. Why
mandated, people? Right? Mandated to us. Hard to get around it.
Want the money? Do it.
Yeah. Is does 6,000 feet open up a plethora of opportunity for us? If, as Mr. Cole says,
that would be the reason to do it.
Does it at that point, if we hit that 6,000, if that is the Holy Grail number, do you then have half a dozen other employer opportunities that could maybe give a rebirth to employment in Sussex County? Outside of construction and farming and tourism?
I really don't know because it depends on what airplanes corporations fly. You know, there are corporations that fly the smaller airplanes that don't require 6,000. The 5,000 we have are good enough. You know, there are other corporations that fly, you know, the Hawker 800 that needs a 6,000-foot runway or more, depending on where they want to go to.
These are light planes that are coming in to be worked on. They're not coming in loaded. So that doesn't need as much runway because they don't need as
much. Right, the 737s are coming in.
And the 57 would be the same way because being light, they'd be a light plane.
Right, but it's still a heavier airplane than the 737.
I know it's heavier, but I'm saying it wouldn't be loaded. It's not coming in. When it comes in to be worked, it's not coming in loaded. And, of course, if they can't get off, then they can naturally go out with a half a tank.
No, Vance is on the right track. If there's this number that would attract other employers, we don't want to just do everything for Pats. We ought to do it for the potential of opening up more aeronautical type of industries at our park because we have this certain length of runway. And if somebody can show me that there is a you know, some validity to that, then that's what we ought to do. And then if we have to come up with other funding, because he says we're going to tap the feds out. So
I mean, I totally agree with what you're saying.
But I mean, that's where I was kind of leading
to. My concern was, I guess, what I'm trying to express is that I don't want to see us move in one direction and hold back things that they could do, and next thing happens, just like happened to Chrysler and GM plant. Where Pat's comes to us and says, well, your runway's too short. We've gone in this direction. We can't land planes here now. We're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't
take it, whatever.
I'm just, mm-hmm. I'm sure we touch all these bases.
But if the number's beyond 5,500, somebody besides the FAA will have to pay for it.
And that'd be another environmental assessment.
and it would be
sure.
Well, we can take a look at
environmental assessment for that length.
Mr. Baker, what would you recommend us do today? Well,
I think that, you know, what I've talked to Mr. Hicken this week and last week, we need to identify exactly how many feet are needed for 757s that Pats would work on, so that we can then determine get an estimate of the cost of its 5,700 foot runway, whatever would be needed compared to what we're talking about, and then look at the FAA, see what they would fund, what they wouldn't fund, and come back to the county council.
I mean, if it means opening up employment opportunity for us to fund an extra 200 feet, there might be three votes here, even though we would basically not be able to grab the other 90% or whatever. I don't know. We haven't had that discussion yet, but if it means saving 500 jobs for us as a county government to fund independently a couple hundred more feet, it might be something that would fly. So
the other thing you have to remember is Pats doesn't have any place to put a 757 right now. They have no hangar space for it. They would have to build a hangar for the 757, which they've done some preliminary work, and that's probably $5 or $6 million of somebody's money to do that. So even if we had the runway today, they wouldn't be able to work on the airport today.
Before the economy changed, they were in very close to moving ahead with that project, is my understanding.
And they were going to fund
paying for it.
Yes.
They were going to fund the hangar?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that would be another $5-7 million in our local economy.
Also, where are we with the FedEx and the other carriers? We're not going with them. They are not interested.
Well, we don't have.
They haven't shown any interest.
I was just a rumor.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Baker?
Yeah, I believe there was a few years ago interest by at least one of those carriers.
So
they haven't come to us in mm-hmm. recently.
It was just a conversation.
But our infrastructure is adequate for that?
No.
It is not?
We don't have the hangar space they were looking for.
Okay.
We have land for somebody to build the hangars that they would need. But
how about the runway? What would they prefer?
The runway would have been fine. Because they're just talking about the small Cessna Caravan type
okay.
aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Baker, would you like us to accept this grant today or hold off a week?
Yes.
Accept the grant?
Yes.
Okay. I will entertain that motion, please.
Will I make that motion?
Actually, Mr. Hicken, you probably have a prepared one that Mr. Cole can.
Sure. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council accepts the Federal Aviation Administration's grant offer of $227,712 as the United States share of 95% of the allowable costs incurred in accomplishing the project. Extend runway 422 environmental phase one.
Mr. Cole?
That's your motion?
Yes, I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion and second to approve the acceptance of the grant for runway 422 extension environmental assessment. Any discussion? Mr. Wilson, do you have this?
I've had a little concern about does the county itself pay for this environmental study? Or is it going to come out from these funds that you're talking about here from the FFA?
We'll pay 2.5%, and the state will pay 2.5%, which our share then is about $59.93.
So how much is this new environmental study on this 500-foot?
The total project cost is $239,697.
I mean, just for environmental study, how much was it going to be? The new environmental?
That's it.
$240,000.
$240,000
for a new
just
study?
Just under.
And they said, I made mention here as you're talking, you said something about probably more noise, yet we're going to have a shorter runway. That should be a lesser noise and lighter planes. And
I don't think I said more. The noise is different, and we have to model that to know what the difference is.
It's a lot of darn money to study for a noise going by, I'll tell you.
Well, there's actually 18 different categories, noise, air quality, water quality, environmental justice.
Well, that's going to change the water. We're still on top. They're flying on land on cement, but I just don't understand.
Well, you have to look at the construction impacts.
I think this
also.
Guy's, we're, they're dealing with, we have to look at twice. I don't know. It's just a lot of money.
Any other discussion?
Guy should have came back and said, I've done this study. We can go ahead and do this for a really reasonable price because we've all done our homework. We know exactly where the cement's going to be poured and all these things are done and why they couldn't just go ahead and give us a reasonable price. But anyway, if they're to get, of course, if they're receiving, that's better than.
Well, we did, we're required by law to do a fee estimate of that contract, and we had another consultant do that estimate, and they came up with, within 8% of the Delta cost.
Within 8%?
Right.
Okay.
Which is considered reasonable.
Well, they think, I guess some people think the government's got a lot of money, so just take it. Doesn't matter about taxpayers.
Some people do think that.
Yep.
Any other discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Mm-hmm. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Benson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you, Mr. Hickman. Coach Thomas.